We're here until 7 o'clock. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can text us on 086-8104-106. You can tweet us as well at Big Red Bench. Love to hear your thoughts on the Cork Minor performance today. It was excellent. They were absolutely brilliant against Mayo. Absolutely sensational in that game. And a well-deserved win as well for the Rebels. Maura Trasny-Kellig watched it for us.
Full-time, Cork 4-12, Mayo 1-13. Neither team will be patting themselves on the back as regards to scoring accuracy in this game. It's just that Cork made a much better fist of it with their goal scoring, even though they had given away 15 frees by the 40 minute mark. Nemo Rangers man Patrick Campbell stood up in the first half with a goal after rounding the keeper, but then the Cork fullback Daniel Linehan caused a stir with the beauty of a shot that hit the Mayo net, much to the surprise of those standing in defence, and put the Leasiders 6 up into the second half. From there on in, it was all Cork's way. Conor Corbett's late goal ensured Cork go to the final. Full time, Cork 4-12, Mayo 1-13.
And yeah, that was a cracking goal from Patrick Campbell to get Cork off the mark. We're going to hear from him. He was speaking to T.G. Cahir after being called named Lake Nimra.
Fantastic effort by your lads today.
Oh yeah, it was unbelievable. To sure, we've been training so hard for the last couple of weeks now after we got a bit of a knock to Kerry in the first game, but we really set a new game plan and just really worked the training.
And now 3 weeks to go to an All-Ireland final. What was it like playing today? Because when the prize is so big, oftentimes it can be a scrappy affair. Today was a scrappy game, and I suppose it was all about getting over the line.
Oh, sure, that's what we came out to do here. We just came to win today. So all we did today is just to go to win and win.
You certainly did. Now you've got 3 weeks to get ready for the final. The under-20s winning last week, winning an All-Ireland title. Cork reaching the Super 8s. It's on the rise. Have the seniors and the under-20s inspired you to take another step here this afternoon?
Yeah, sure. We get great confidence from the under-20s winning and even the minor ladies winning. Showing that Cork football's in a good place now, especially with us in an All-Ireland final. So I think Cork football is going in the right direction.
Well done today, Patrick Campbell. Is through Leif Nehemerha.
Yeah, Leif Nehemerha there. Patrick Campbell, fantastic performance from him. And here from Bobby O'Dwyer in a sec. However, Dublin now lead Mayo. It is 1-8 to 8 points. Conor Callaghan with the goal for the Dubs just while that interview was going on. So it's Dublin 1-8, Mayo 8 points is how things stand there at the moment. Here from Bobby O'Dwyer, also speaking to TG Carr.
That was some display by your lads.
Very pleased for the boys. They did extremely well. We were very, very nervous out there earlier on, but once they got into the pattern of the play, today will stand well for them.
And Bobby, it was a nervy sort of a day, and I suppose semi-finals are like that. The prize is so enormous to be back in the final. It took a lot. I mean, Daniel Lennon's goal, was that the turning point where lads settled down? You seem to play much better after that fantastic goal.
Yeah, we created a lot of chances, and we were just, the final pass was leaving us down a little bit today, but then Danny's goal settled things down and we kind of drove on. We've done well in the last kind of 10 minutes of all our games so far, and I think they shoved it up another gear outside there today and did very well.
Were you able to enjoy it in the last few minutes when things were, I suppose, done and dusted?
No. I think we'll enjoy it maybe later on tonight or tomorrow, but it was hard. The heart was racing outside the sideline there.
I'd say it certainly was. Times are good for Cork football now, aren't they? I mean, between the under-20s and the seniors going well and now yourselves, what's bringing this change about, do you think?
Well, I think, look, there's always been good football in Cork, and confidence was something that you have to earn and get. I suppose the run of the 20s this year really stood up for us. That brought us along, the seniors going well, it brought us along. There's a huge amount of work going on down there in Cork, and I suppose it's the things that don't go right is what you hear about, not the things that do go right. We know there's a lot of work going there. There's a lot of huge effort between the underage, the under-20s and the seniors. And I guess the success of the 20s has helped us along the way as well, because once you get a bit of momentum, that brings confidence into your team, and they get confidence that they're head up and on the front foot.
That's Bobby O'Dwyer speaking on TG Carr. We'll hear more from Bobby on the show a little bit later on. Dublin have extended their lead. They now lead Mayo 1-10 to 8 points. Dublin certainly kicking into gear there in Croke Park. Elsewhere, just locally, there's a big senior hurling championship doubleheader this evening in Páirc Uaireann at half time. The Pearshig leading St Finbarr's 9.26. Elsewhere at 7 o'clock, Ballymartle and Middleton go head to head. That's also in Páirc Uaireann. And in Mourne Abbey, Blackrock Newtown Chandra meeting later on. That's at 7 o'clock as well. Elsewhere this afternoon in the Premier Intermediate Hurling Championship, Ballincollig defeating Coursey Rovers earlier on this afternoon. It finished Ballincollig 16 points, Coursey's 1-11 at 7 o'clock. That's Ballinhasig and Inniscarra in Ovens. Alright, victory for Ireland today against Italy in their World Cup warm-up match at the Aviva Stadium, but it has come at a bit of a cost. But look, Callaghan.
Ireland 29, Italy 10. Ireland's World Cup warm-up campaign is off to a winning start. Joe Schmidt's side ran in 5 tries in defeating Italy by a comfortable 19 points here at the Aviva Stadium in the first of their Guinness Series encounters. Though there'll be concern for out-half Joey Carberry, who limped off to a medical cart after taking a knock to his ankle 9 minutes into the second half. Wings Andrew Conway, who was named man of the match, and Dave Carney both crossed the whitewash for the hosts in the opening 40 minutes, with Carberry, who ended the game with 9 points, also scoring a try after a lovely quick offload pass from centre Chris Farrell. The Azzurri grabbed 2 tries of their own in the first half, Maxine Mbanda powering over after a series of Italian penalties in the 12th minute, and number 10 Carlo Canna chasing down a kick behind the Irish defence, a sloppy try conceded which won't escape the analysis of coach Andy Farrell. Having led by 19 points to 10 at the interval, Ireland stretched their advantage early in the second half, with Ulster number 8 Jordy Murphy going over for his third international try. Kieran Marmion on as a second half sub got in on the act just after the hour, going over for a try after he blocked down a Colin Brawley clearance. Munster duo John Klein and Mike Haley both earned their first Ireland caps, while the coaching team will be hoping that Carberry's injury is not too serious, just 41 days before the start of the World Cup. Tougher tests await, with England next up at Twickenham on Saturday August 24th, ahead of back-to-back clashes with the world's new number one Wales. Full time here at the Aviva Stadium, Ireland 29, Italy 10.
As you heard Will mention there, Wales are now the world's number one. That's after Australia defeated New Zealand at 47 points to 26 in the Rugby Championship today. It's the most amount of points the Kiwis have ever conceded. So now Wales are the world's number one. Dublin's lead is now 6, Dublin 111, Mayo 8 points, 44 minutes gone on the clock there. As we mentioned, Joey Carberry picking up that ankle injury today. Joe Schmidt was asked about the status of Carberry's ankle afterwards.
The good news is, Joey, there's no fracture. It's a bit puffy on the inside of his left ankle. We're going to give that 24 to 48 hours just for the swelling to go down, and if we need to get a picture of it, we will. Obviously he's had an x-ray and been cleared of a fracture, so that's a good news on Joey. We don't have anyone else who's of major concern. First game of the season, there's a few lung injuries, guys who couldn't get enough oxygen in, and one particularly that Reece suffered when he got hit quite hard after giving a scoring pass that he didn't really get a good look at, but Joey Carberry certainly enjoyed the end of it. So, you know, we're hopefully relatively unscathed, but Joey obviously will take 24 to 48 hours to know for sure.
Yeah, it's Schmidt being very cautious there on the status of Joey Carberry's ankle injury. He looked in tremendous pain when it happened. He just went into a tackle, was pushed back on the ankle, looked very, very awkward indeed. You could see the pain he was in as he limped to that medical cart. Hopefully not too bad, as Will mentioned in his full-time report, the World Cup 41 days away. So hopefully Carberry won't be out of action for too long. All right, in the Premier League, Aston Villa are leading Tottenham by a goal to nil. John McGinn with the goal after 9 minutes at the new Tottenham Stadium. And fantastic as well to see Cork's Conor Horahan make his Premier League debut. He started in midfield alongside McGinn today. So after 39 minutes, it is at Tottenham 0, Aston Villa 1. Elsewhere, another Cork man making his Premier League debut today, and that was Cork's John Egan, as he lined out for Sheffield United against Bournemouth. Finished all square, Peter Hood.
Bournemouth 1, Sheffield United 1. A well-earned point for the Premier League newcomers. They equalised late in the game through their veteran Billy Sharp, a second-half substitute after Chris Meffin had that fired Bournemouth into the lead, a lead they didn't really deserve, because Sheffield United were very workmanlike, as you'd expect, and they gave a good account of themselves. But Sharp's late finish meant it finished Bournemouth 1, Sheffield United 1.
Alright, this is running away from Mayo a bit. The Dubs have just added a second goal, 47 minutes on the clock. They lead 2-11 to 8 points. Conor Callaghan with his second goal of the game, so now Dublin lead by 9, and it looks like they've found that second gear, that extra gear I should say, and it looks like they're going to book their place in the All-Ireland final unless Mayo can get their act together. But it's looking like very calm, and there's a bit of a swagger about the Dubs now after Mayo led at half time. But it's Dublin lead 2-11 to 8 points. That led a score there from Croke Park. Just another full-time report to play. That was Watford and Brighton. Andrew Cheel.
Watford 0, Brighton 3. Brighton, good value for the win. Dangerous on the break throughout. True, there was luck in their first goal. Doucouré stabbing low past his own goalkeeper. The next two, though, both came from substitutes and both on excellent fast breaks. And Doné seconds after coming on, and Mopé 5 minutes later. Watford had plenty of possession but failed to service the strikers anywhere near sufficiently, and it finished Watford 0, Brighton 3.
The early kickoff saw West Ham well beaten by Manchester City, the holders off to a great start, and going top of the table on goal difference as well. Guy Swindles was at the Olympic Stadium.
West Ham 0, Manchester City 5. City superb. Raheem Sterling to the fore with a wonderful hat-trick. There were also goals for Jesus and for Aguero from the penalty spot. But in the second half, VAR controversies rather overshadowed events on the field when City had a good goal disallowed for a fractional offside, and Aguero got to retake the penalty in absurd circumstances. West Ham 0, Manchester City 5.
Yeah, VAR kind of taking the headlines away from Raheem Sterling and that wonderful hat-trick today. They had a goal disallowed after a video review as well. Striker Gabriel Jesus was deemed offside by what looked like millimetres. Game was delayed for about 3 minutes while the goal was disallowed. Not massively a fan of VAR. The guy was millimetres. I suppose technically he is offside, but 3 minutes of a delay for that. Is it working properly? Not entirely sure. Pep Guardiola, he's happy enough with the technology.
Only what I wish, my wish, is the VAR don't make mistakes. Because when it's offside, it's offside. When it's penalty, so it's not a problem. But I think it would be more fair.
And West Ham boss Manuel Pellegrini is in favour as well.
It's not easy to be used to accept or to wait those seconds, but if you use it in the correct way and not, you are not always asking for the VAR, I think that will improve the league.
All right, Liverpool, a 4-1 win over Norwich last night. The big concern over them, though, is the calf injury sustained by goalkeeper Alisson. He went to take a goal kick, went down with a calf injury. And former West Ham keeper Adrian making his debut just 4 days after signing for the European champions. Cork's Cueven Kelleher out injured as well, which is massively unfortunate given the injury to Alisson. And Klopp therefore worried about the cover they have in the position.
He's a very confident guy, and he came in. I don't think he wanted to sit only on the bench for the next couple of years. He was he made himself ready, but you still don't want to have a situation where one goalie is fit. That's how it is.
In the Scottish Premiership, Celtic continuing their fine start. They followed the 7-0 thrashing of St Johnston with a 5-2 victory over Motherwell. Boss Neil Lennon saying it was a great display from his side.
We didn't start the game well. We were again back in some bad old habits, inviting pressure we didn't need to do. So we eradicated that, and then from then on there was some outstanding individual performance and outstanding team performance.
Alright, led a score from Croke Park at 50 minutes on the clock. It is Dublin who lead by 10 points, Dublin 2-12, Mayo 8 points. Cotman Connor Lane actually the man in the middle for that one, refereeing the game, but it's Dublin 2-12, Mayo 8 points, and it looks like Dublin are going to book their place in the All-Ireland final. With 20 minutes left to go, a lot of football still to be played, but Mayo need to start picking up scores quickly, and a goal would do wonders for them at this stage. Stating the obvious, I know, but they need something, and they need something very, very quickly indeed. Going to look at the FAI Cup action. It's been a hectic enough couple of days for Cork sides. Cork City barely making it through last night. We'll hear from John Cotter in just a bit. We're going to hear from Co-Ramblers boss Stuart Ash mention as well. They're taking on Dundalk tonight in about 45 minutes' time down in St. Comyn's Park. But Cove Wanderers beaten 1-0 by Limerick last night. An excellent performance from Wanderers, considering they're still in their pre-season. The Munster Senior League doesn't kick off until next week. Their manager is Darren Murphy. He's been chatting to Lucas Keating.
Yeah, coming in, look, we did well, I think, overall. We're probably, you know, our first game in, we weren't that bit sharp, and again, goals win games and take your chances, and look, Limerick got their chance and they took it and won 1-0. But for me, I'm happy, because what all I was saying to the lads is, you know, it's still our pre-season, it's their first game, so, you know, once they go out there and enjoy themselves and play a good brand of football, which they did, and we were able to get young lads on the pitch, that for me was outstanding, like, you know, from the lads. So
yeah, and lots of positives. Obviously you start Munster Senior League next week, so lots of positives to take from tonight into your first game.
Yeah, definitely. You always try and take the positives out of the game. Anyway, look, we play decent football, but again, it's a really nice pitch. You know, it's a big pitch, gives you the opportunity to do that. Once I've seen a league game again, it'll be a totally different game next week, next Sunday against Ringman. So, again, we just have to go and prepare for it, and that's what we try to do, is prepare for each game as it comes, like, you know.
Yeah. Yes, Darren Murphy there speaking after last night's game, and fair play to the Wanderers team. They certainly performed very, very well last night against Limerick down at St. Comyn's Park. It's fantastic actually seeing Wanderers playing St. Comyn's Park. Fantastic seeing the town of Cove come together for Wanderers and Ramblers again tonight. There was a joint press conference held in Fota earlier on in the week, which is fantastic to see. It's all progress down in Cove, and congratulations to them on doing that, and it was great to see, and it was great to see the press conference down in Fota as well. I said Mayo needed a goal before we went into that interview. They have scored a goal. It is now Mayo 1-8, Dublin 2-12, so the gap has been reduced to 7 points. So fingers crossed. Well, I suppose we're technically neutral here, but I think everyone would like to see Mayo into the All-Ireland final at the expense of the Dubs, except for people from Dublin. So I think the vast majority of neutrals would like to see Mayo in the final, but they've got a lot of work to do still, a lot of ground to make up. It is currently Dublin 2-12, Mayo 1-8 is how it stands at the moment. Lee Keegan it was with the goal for Mayo. Alright, as I mentioned, Cove Ramblers are in action against Dundalk tonight. 7 o'clock is the kick-off time for that one down in St. Comyn's Park. A lot of confidence, I think, in the Ramblers camp, because, of course, they defeated Dundalk in the EA Sports Cup semi-final last year down in St. Comyn's Park. What a game that was, and what a goal that was from Chris Hull. They beat Shelburne last week in the the league in the First Division, beaten by a goal to nil. And maybe Dundalk might have their eye off the ball after their European exploits during the week and the return leg to happen next week. I caught up with the Ramblers boss Stuart Ashton. Stuart Ashton, just how big, I suppose, is to Saturday night's game?
Yeah, it's a huge game. Obviously, we know the importance of it. Great occasion, has been said all week, for Cove Town itself, with Wanderers playing as well. But for ourselves, a cup tie at home, which is what we wanted from day one, a home tie, and arguably the best team in the land at the minute. FAI Cup holders as well. So the occasion is huge. But having said that, we've got to go there. And we've got nothing to lose, you know. We go there, and the lads learn from the occasion, soak up the occasion, and you know, we've shown now in the last few weeks that we're going in the right directions. We were organised against the best team in our own league, against Shells there, and then when we could have the chance to play, we went out and played. So hopefully, if we can get that mentality again, we'll make it hard for them, and we'll make it competitive, and that's the main thing we're looking for.
Yeah, confidence must be sky high after that Shelburne win on Saturday.
Yeah, the last few weeks the lads are buying into what we're trying to do. You know, you put your own little stamp on things when you're in charge. So hopefully they're buying into that. They're expressing themselves. You know, we've got to be careful though against obviously the experience of Dundalk, that any silly things and we'll get exposed and they'll tear us apart. So we've got to be careful of that. But you make mistakes from learning as well. So you know, there's a balance that has to be right, and they'll get it right as we did against Shells, and they'll get it wrong as we did second half against Limerick. So that's the learning curve, and that's what they're on at the minute, and we don't have a problem with that as long as they keep learning. And if they're learning, the team will get better, and then we'll performances will show from that.
Now, they had a tough European tie last night. They obviously have another game next week. They'll be coming down, maybe make a few changes, but after what you did to them in the EA Sports Cup last week, they certainly won't be taking you for granted last year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, as we said, that they probably will make changes. Obviously, that's their own business. You know, we'll be thinking that as from our point of view, looking into the game. Again, you know, it's down to the individuals on the day. Whatever team they put out, it's the quality side. We can't dispute that. So, from our point of view, you know, yes, they might get a reminder of last year's performance, and that's bad for us, I think. So, we won't mention it. Keep it quiet, will you, like, yeah.
Last year, when you did beat them, the crowd played a massive part in that win. How important is it to get a big crowd out in St. Coleman's Park on Saturday night?
Yeah, obviously, you know, the players themselves, that's what they're dreaming of, playing out in front of big crowds. So the bigger the crowd, the better. And if we can show glimpses of what we can do and get the crowd behind us and hopefully turn against them, then you've got a great occasion and a great atmosphere, which is what we're looking for. And as I said already, that's what every player dreams of. So hopefully, yeah, we get the crowd out. As I've said already, it's a great occasion for the town with Wanderers playing as well. So if they get out for that one, and they've got a great opportunity there as well. They've got nothing to lose there, so and they can do a great job. So, but from our perspective, we'll do our best we can, competitive, and compete for it and go for it.
Thanks, Stuart. Best of luck.
Great stuff. Thanks, Roy.
Yeah, won the game's nice guy, Stuart Ashton. They're doing a great job with Cove Ramblers after stepping into the hot seat after Stephen Henderson's rather abrupt departure a couple of weeks back. But doing a great job, and fingers crossed they can get a result against Dundalk tonight. How fantastic would that be to see Ramblers defeat the holders in St. Coleman's Park tonight? 7 o'clock is the kick-off time for that one. Hopefully a big crowd down there as well to cheer the Ramblers on. Looks like it might be a nice evening for football. Well, looked out the back window there, looks grey and windy, overcast, but hopefully it stays dry, the most important thing for that, but fingers crossed for a Ramblers win tonight. Just to get you up to date in the Senior Hurling Championship, St. Finbarr's and the Pearse going head to head, and it is the Barr's who lead by 112 to 12 points. Owen Finn with a penalty for the Barr's there, putting them at 3 points clear with 49 minutes on the clock. And Dublin have got another point. It's Dublin 213, Mayo 1-8. They're kind of taking the sting out of Mayo's fight back there, and expertly doing it as well. You kind of have to admire it in a way. So with 12 minutes on the clock there, it's Dublin 213, Mayo 1-8 is how that stands. Right, going to talk about Cork City. Before we do that, I'm actually going to go to a half-time report from White Hart Lane, where Nigel Bidmead is watching Tottenham and Aston Villa.
Tottenham 0, Aston Villa 1. Spurs started well and Lucas Moura missed a wonderful opportunity to head the home side in front before a long ball down the middle in the ninth minute was collected by Villa midfielder John McGinn. He turned a defender before sweeping a low left-footed shot beyond Hugo Lloris. Villa have had other chances too, most notably for Egypt winger Trezeguet. Spurs have engineered a couple of openings. Harry Kane headed over just before the break. Spurs 0, Villa 1.
Right, so as I mentioned, Cork City just about making it into the FAI Cup, the next round of the FAI Cup last night, with a win on penalties over First Division side Cabinteely at Stradbroke. City had gone ahead thanks to Conor McCarthy's goal after 20 minutes. But then Kevin Knight equalised for Cabinteely, forcing the game into extra time. Rob Manley put Cabinteely ahead. And it looked like they were going to progress at the expense of the side who had booked their place in the final in the last 4 years, won the FA Cup twice in the last 4 years as well. But Ronan Hurley popped up with the equaliser right at the death in the last minute of extra time to force penalties. Cork City then went on to win 5-4 after Mark McNulty saved the opening penalty for Cabinteely. I'm going to hear now from our boss John Cotter, a relieved boss John Cotter, speaking to the media after the game.
Look, obviously I thought we played well for half an hour and let our standards slip a bit and got a bit sloppy, and they came back into the game and we never really came out second half. They put us under a lot of pressure with free kicks, long throws, corners, balls into the box, and then we probably should have defended the three for the first goal a lot better than what we did. And but look, we showed a bit of character at the end, showed a bit of character and a bit of guts, and maybe got a bit of luck as well that we wouldn't have got for a long time, really. So hopefully that might be a turning point.
It's been something that this team has been questioned about. I mean, we then pull it out like that. Is that confidence boosting for you that they keep pulling it out?
Yeah, look, hopefully. Look, but the boys have been absolutely, for me, they've been brilliant, to be fair. I wouldn't knock any of them. They've all been, as you said, confidence has been down and it's tough. And look, we had another late goal last week as well, but luckily we were on the other side of that tonight, and I think we were due our bit of luck as well. And but look, young Ron Hurley still showed a lot of quality in the finish as well, and Dan Casey would put up the great to pull the ball back to him. And hopefully that's what we're saying to the boys inside, that this is hopefully the start of our season. Now we need to kick on, and it's just lately we've been doing well in a couple of games and just letting things slip, so we need to build a bit of momentum now and bring to next Friday.
And why do you think it was that the lads couldn't build on the good start?
We just started, I think, at times, fellas, they were playing well, and then they just tried to, we were telling them pass it quick and simple, and then people started trying things that they shouldn't have been trying. We started giving the ball away. People were trying to force it, and we just kept giving the ball away, and we started getting deeper and deeper, and it's hard to get out of that when you're in it then. And as I said, Kevin Thiele played well as well, to be fair, and they put us under a lot of pressure, and they probably feel they're hard done by as well.
Had you practiced penalties?
Look, the boys will practice quite regularly anyway, after training. And look, the lads that took them, we know they're all good lads. And obviously Mark was able to get his hands to one as well. So, but look, yeah, look, they still have to show a bit of character to stand up there and take them. And obviously Conor McCormick, who was taking about an hour to take his, but he still showed the composure to put it away. And look, hopefully that's a confidence booster for those boys.
Especially now, given that next Friday is away to Waterford, you know, who are kind of down the same part of the table as you, it's good to be going into that, you know, in a positive frame of mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it's amazing what winning a shootout does for the difference in the dressing room. But look, it's grand saying it, we need to bring it in, but we just have to do it now. And that's from when we start preparing for the Waterford game, which will start tomorrow. And we need to do that because it'll be a tough game. You're never getting an easy game down there, and no doubt Rennie down there will have him well motivated for it as well. So look, it should be a great game, and hopefully we can take a bit of confidence out of this and bring it into that.
And Dara wasn't involved tonight, was he injured?
No, Dara wasn't injured, to be fair. It was just wasn't involved, to be fair. We just rotated a bit that way, and look, obviously the boys that came off the bench tonight did great as well. Benno.
Yeah.
It was great to get Alec Byrne onto the pitch as well, who I thought did well when he came on, and obviously Dara Crowley as well. And who was the fourth? I can't think.
Joel,
yeah. Sure.
And Connor was forced off. Is that likely to be serious? Or?
I just spoke to the physio there. Look, it's hard to really gauge it now, but he came off quite early. So just as he was tightening up. So look, hopefully it's only more of a precaution and he should be okay. But look, it's too early to call that right now, to be honest.
And he's been captaining the team the last few games, even with Carroll back. Is that kind of a permanent change now?
Yeah, it's something I thought of for a while. And look, obviously a couple of weeks ago against Rovers, Carroll and Bucks, who would have been the captain, vice-captain, were both missing. And I just gave it to Connor, and I think I know some people give a captaincy to people to try and get more out of them, but I gave it to him because he deserved it. And Connor's 21, a lad who's come through the academy, and in my time in this position he's been absolutely brilliant. He's been unbelievable, to be fair. He scored again tonight, and look, if he is out for a period of time, he'd be a massive loss to us. But Connor deserves the captaincy, and look, as long as he was happy for it, I was happy to let him keep it.
How important is it to win this one so long? You don't have a game, you don't have a weekend off in 2 weeks' time. Just be where you are in the table. The fans, if they thought there's nothing to look forward to, they could go away, but now they might stay because there might be something at the end of this
year. Yeah, it was huge to win, huge to get through. And look, we didn't play well. We're probably after the first 30, 35 minutes, we didn't play well. And look, we haven't won many games. I know, look, the game was won on penalties, but we haven't, let's say, won many games when we haven't played that well either this season. So, look, hopefully a bit of character and a bit of guts, and the boys will take a bit of confidence from that. And, look, it was huge to do that, to be fair. It was huge to get through. Obviously, the supporters deserve a cup run. We love a cup run. Everyone loves a cup run.
You've not had enough of them lately, no?
No, but you never get sick of that. So look, that's the plan again, hopefully. But look, we can park that now. Look, I know the draw is Monday or so, but we can park that now and all our focus goes into next Friday against Waterford, and we just need to get back to taking it one game at a time that way, and that's what we plan to do for the rest of the season.
Yeah, it's John Collar there speaking after last night's win on penalties over Cabin Tilly in the FAI Cup to book their place in the next round. Hopefully Cove Ramblers can join them when they kick off against Dundalk at 7pm this evening. Just the latest scores, it is Dublin 3-14, Mayo 1-9. The Dubs adding a third goal, so they now lead by 11 points. There's 2.5 minutes on the clock there, and Dublin are going to book their place in the All-Ireland final against either Kerry or Tyrone. And in the Senior Hurling Championship down in Park, you're in the bars are leading the Pearshaig 114 to 15 points after 55 minutes in that game down there, and as the Senior Hurling Championship returns. There's just a couple of minutes left in that game there. Right, still to come on the show tonight, we are going to have more reaction from the Cork Minor Camp after their fantastic win today over Mayo that booked their place in the All-Ireland Final. Going to have a reaction as well from the Ireland Rugby Camp after their win over Italy today. But up next, we're talking to Aidan O'Mahony as he previews Kerry and Tyrone in the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship.
Missed the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. Cork's Red FM.
Thank you for choosing the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM this evening. My name is Rory. I'm here until 7pm. It's almost all over bar the shouting now at the moment in Croke Park. The Dubs are leading Mayo. They're comfortably leading Mayo as well in the closing stages of their All-Ireland Football Championship semi-final. It is the Dubs lead 3-14 to 1-9, 11 point lead for Dublin. So they are on their way to the All-Ireland Final yet again. Will it be Kerry or will it be Tyrone who they'll be facing in the decider in 3 weeks time? For more on that, we've been speaking to Kingdom legend Aidan O'Mahony.
No problem.
Okay, we're joined on the line by Paddy Powers, GAA Ambassador Aidan O'Mahony, ahead of a massive, massive game for Kerry tomorrow against Tyrone in the All-Ireland semi-final. First off, Aidan, how would you sum up Kerry's summer so far?
Yeah, I suppose, look, Peter Keane's obviously had to come in this year, and I suppose it's a new look panel. A lot of young lads have, I suppose, cut their teeth in the championship, which is a very positive thing for Kerry. The Mayo game at home in Killarney was probably the best game, obviously with the Donegal game. The Meath game the last day was a bit disappointing. I suppose at times we might have been opened up at the back, which is a bit worrying. So I suppose there's a bit of learning from all the games, but at the same time they're inside an All-Ireland semi-final, and look, Kerry in All-Ireland semi-final, you know, they're a danger to any team. Like, so I think it's been very positive, and as I said, we've unearthed a lot of young lads as well, like, which is a great thing going forward.
David Clifford is back in the starting 15 after missing out the last day. How important is that for Kerry tomorrow?
Yeah, look, he played last year. He won his first All-Star like at 19, 20 years of age. He's just an exceptional talent. The day in Killarney we watched him, he was just unmarkable, you know. And, you know, I think it's a good thing that the team the last day they played without him and beat Meath. And I think coming into the game the next day, I think he'll be looking forward to playing Tyrone as well. And, look, I think those young lads, they're intelligent footballers as well, and they know the kind of system that they'll be up against. And obviously, they know that there'll be a bit of bite in the game and that they won't be getting, I suppose, a free pass from any of the Tyrone players. Like, so, you know, I think Croke Park suits players like David Clifford, and he is a big player for the big day, and we've seen that before. Like, so hopefully he'll kick on now again tomorrow evening.
What are you expecting from Tyrone tomorrow, Aidan?
I think two things. I think at the start of the year, they obviously went 15-15. I think they got caught out by Donegal, and I suppose they were very porous at the back, and it was showing up. And then they went back to their old system of dropping Colm Kavanagh back on the D, and it was really showing up. Obviously, I suppose, would watch the Cork game, and Cork had him in trouble in several times, and I suppose the biggest thing I've seen that day is they moved Matty Donnelly from wing forward into the full forward line, and, you know, it totally changed the game. And I think that was a kind of a trump card that Mickey Hart was holding on to, I think, till maybe a semi-final, and he had to use it. But, you know, Tyrone will play with intensity, they run, you know, they play that running game. They've been there last year in the All-Ireland final. I think they'll have something to prove. Well, I think they'll have looked at last year's All-Ireland final and probably said to themselves, we didn't do ourselves justice. And now they'll probably look at the Kerry game saying, you know, if we can get over Kerry in All-Ireland semi-final, we'll be well prepared for final. And it's kind of vice versa with Kerry as well. I think that it's the ideal game for both teams, that if you're going to an All-Ireland final, you're definitely going to be tested here. Like, so I think Tyrone will definitely try to frustrate Kerry. I think they'll try to stifle out the full back or the full forward line. And, you know, as I said, I think Colm Cavanagh will sit in the D and from there just play a running game.
There's obviously quite a lot of history between Kerry and Tyrone. I was reading Colm Cooper today talking about the battles in the 2000s between the two counties, which he described as fairly bitter.
Yeah, look, I suppose the one thing from our time, obviously, I played in 2005 and 8, and look, I played in the game, we beat them in Clarny in 2012, and I played again in 2015, we beat them in Bumcrow Park, you know, so obviously, yeah, they beat us in All-Ireland finals, they were probably hard ones to take, and, you know, you're always trying to get that monkey off your back, and we were lucky enough to get off, and those games they were played with, you know, there was no kind of step back taken from either side, and I think it's different now, though, Rory, in that... A lot of young lads have come through and, you know, they wouldn't have been involved in those games or they wouldn't look at that game now as, I suppose, something similar to back then. But obviously, for both of them, I think the biggest carrot dangling in front of them is that you'll be playing either Mayo and Dublin in an All-Ireland final and, look, finals are there to be won. Like, so I just think, yes, there'll be definitely a bit of bite to the game because we see even in the league game this year in Killarney, you know, Kerry turned over Tyrone with a very young team and... I think Tyrone will probably look at that as well and they'll probably say, yeah, this is a young team, we can get at them. But I think Kerry are playing at the moment with a bit of, I suppose, they have no fear. And that's with the youth as well. Like, so it is all the makings of a fantastic game.
Do you fancy Kerry tomorrow, Eden?
I do. And, you know, I'd know Mulligan well there. And we were kind of hopping ball off each other there all week about who was giving who the most roastings inside in games. I think it was 1-1 in the finish. But... you know, I think the biggest thing, like, for tomorrow is that, you know, especially in the semi-final, and I always talk about it for teams, is you need to perform. Like, you can't be having an eye in the final saying, you know, if we do this tomorrow, if we do that. You just need to perform on the day, and, you know, you just like, I think for Kerry, it's a young side, and a lot of people will probably say, look, they've got to semi-final, they've done very well this year, but look, down here, I suppose the one good thing is that we're always judged on winning All-Irelands, and that's... I suppose that's just the way it's been. I think it's been there since the Kerry Golden Year time. You know, you're judging when you all earn, and there'll be, I suppose, there'll be a bit of pressure on them, and there'll be an expectation on Kerry to beat Tyrone as well tomorrow. But at the same time, as I said, Tyrone will come with all guns blazing. But get over this game, Kerry, and I think they have a great chance in all earn final then.
Yeah, will it be Dublin or Mayo in the final with them?
Oh, geez, Rory, that's the hard one. look, obviously, your heart would say Mayo. I think the whole country is saying Mayo, but. It's very hard to see. Like, I watched Dublin the last day. Look, I suppose there's a lot of factors. Mayo has kind of, I suppose, come full circle since they played Kerry and Killarney. It might have been an eye-opener. Dublin, on the other hand, I suppose you've seen above the last day, above Noma. You know, they're the second-string team out. Like, they arrested a lot of their big players. You know, the likes of Jack McCaffrey. These are the guys that really make them tick in games. And I suppose the Dear McConnelly factor in that, you know, he's come back into the panel. You'll be kind of wondering, like, has that upset maybe some of the younger lads that have been trying there and there about the last year or two trying to get into the panel, get into the team. But I think Jim Gavin knows now that, you know, you need your big players in big days, and he's a big player for him. And I just think it's Dublin's to lose. You know, I think Mayo would want to have everything going well from on the day. And I think the biggest thing that Mayo, they need to score 2 or 3 goals if they're going to beat Dublin. You know, that's the biggest thing I've seen from the last couple of years. They lost by point in both games, but I think they only scored 1 goal against Dublin. So I think if they are to beat Dublin today or turn over Dublin, they'd want to be scoring 2 or 3 goals. But this is a Mayo team that are probably unpredictable at the best, and, you know, they could do anything, which is the great thing about them. They have that kind of X factor in the J. You kind of love them and hate them. You'd hate to see him beat your own team, but you'd love to see him beating someone else. But, you know, it's a hard one. But at the other side, if Dublin hit form, you know, they could beat him by 10 points.
Finally, Aidan, while I have you, just a word on Cork. I mean, like, it was kind of a mixed summer, I suppose. Not a great summer for Cork seniors, but the under-20s winning the All-Ireland last week will be a shot in the arm for the entire county.
I think so, yeah. And, look, I trained on the Keith Rickon myself in CIT, and... he had a lot of guys in CIT when we were fresher and, I suppose, second year in college, and none of us were playing into county. And I think most of the team we had in the Sigerson that time, we all went on to play into county. And he brings that kind of belief in the group and, you know, that kind of drive and motivation, which you've seen lasted, because a lot of teams under 20 at that age, if they went down 1-6 to no score, you'd have said they'd have wilted and they'd have died out of the game. but they actually got stronger. And I met a few of them during the week there. They're actually very level-headed guys, and they love playing football, and they spoke highly of him about that, you know, all year. It was a panel game. It wasn't just 1-15. It was 1-34-5. And I think it'll definitely stand Cork in the year going forward. And I suppose you'll probably look at the Cork senior panel now that's there this year. They'll be looking over their shoulder saying there's definitely going to be 7 or 8 of those under 20 guys coming in next year. And I just think now that Cork are in a great position, because even in the Championship this year and the Super 8s, they really performed. Like, if you look at the Tyrone game, there was a chance in the second half there. I don't know, was it one of their centre forward, wing forward, went to goal, maybe hand pass across and it was into the net. It might have been a different game. They could be playing Kerry and Aller in final. And I don't think the Roscommon game, I think, was one of those games it was hard to get up for. So I really think from where they were after the league and people were kind of cutting the back off them and stuff to where they are now, I think they're in a good, healthy position. Now, we don't want them too healthy for the most of the championship next year. Maybe after Rory be fine, so you can, you know, kind of saunter away in the league and stuff for yourself. Like, but yeah, look, as I said at the start of the year, Kerry needs Cork going well as well. Like, and, yeah, you know, speak about provincial finals and Munster championships, look, nothing beats Kerry and Cork, you know, on a summer day.
Hey, Nomani, Paddy Power, GA Ambassador. Pleasure talking to you as always. Enjoy the game tomorrow.
Pleasure, Rory. Thank you.
Yes, the Kerry legend there, Aidan O'Mahony, tipping Kerry to face Tyrone tomorrow. And he was spot on with his analysis as well of Dublin and Mayo. Recorded that earlier on today, obviously, and he said Mayo need to score 2 or 3 goals if they were to beat the Dubs. They did not. It has finished with a victory for Dublin this afternoon. 3-14-1-10. The drive for 5 for the Dubs continues. They are into the All-Ireland final. Will it be Kerry or will it be Tyrone who they'll face in the decider? Aidan fairly confident that Kerry will overcome Tyrone tomorrow afternoon in Croke Park, 3 o'clock start for that one. And of course, all Cork guys will be on the minor game as well, between Kerry and Galway. That is at 1:30 tomorrow in headquarters. Of course, the winners will face the Rebels in the All-Ireland final in 3 weeks. Full time as well from Páirce Rinn. The Bars have beaten the Pearshig 116-16 points was how it finished. Owen Finn's penalty, the difference between the sides in that senior hurling championship game. Going to full time report. We won't get a full time report. We'll get that in a bit from Croke Park. But now we're going to go back indeed to Croke Park. Maura Trasny Callig has been speaking to Cork minor manager Bobby O'Dwyer after the 4-12-1-13 win against Mayo today.
I'm joined by a very happy Bainisteoir from Cork, a minor Bainisteoir, and you're in the final.
Yes, absolutely delighted. Delighted for the team, delighted for the work that they put in, and delighted for their performance today. I know they've earned the right to compete in the All-Ireland final. So we've 3 weeks now to get ready and see where we go.
I'm sure this has been thrown to you many a time, but is it another sign that Corkness is coming back?
It's just great. Again, being down in Cork, we know there's an awful lot of work being done at Cork or in Cork. We knew the huge amount of efforts that are going in. You need a little bit of success, you need to get the bit of confidence, and obviously confidence and success brings headlines and positive headlines, and it's just great to be involved in that.
Watching the game there, especially in the first half, neither side, I suppose they were wasteful, and that's understandable. Croke Park, it's a new experience, it's a big field, and you're there as a young lad, for a lot of them for the first time. Second half though, the goals really opened up, and it's not often you see a fullback scoring a goal.
I felt we actually settled quite well. We were getting into positions, we were creating the scoring chances, but absolutely you're right, our execution on a few occasions left us down, and that was down to nervousness. There's no doubt whatsoever about that was nervous. We got them in at half time and we had a chat with the lads. We weren't doing anything too wrong. There was 2 or 3 little areas we had to concentrate on and work on, and we wanted to get the ball out of the middle a little bit, out of the space, because Mayo had a couple, 2 sweepers back at different times during the game, and we were inclined to go down the middle a little bit too often. And once we tried to pull them out wide, we created the chances, create the one-on-ones, and we got through for the goals, and goals do win matches.
You were very good as well at breaking down the Mayo kick-out in the first half, but it reaped rewards in the second half.
We put a lot of work into that. Mayo had to change their kick-out strategy there today, because the way our forwards and our midfield in particular worked, not to give them a chance. People don't often see that, but the amount of work and effort that goes into that by the forwards is phenomenal. So whilst they may not be scoring, the effort they put in is they create the scoring chances for others, and look, that's what we're about as a team. So well done to them all.
Finally, now you've got an interesting looking 3 weeks ahead now as you prepare for an All-Ireland final?
Well, it's a new experience for us all, and we'll see how it goes. Yeah, with 3 weeks, we'll head back to Cork tonight now, and we'll just have a look at the injuries, make sure everybody recovers, get everybody right, and we'll sit down next week and prepare. With, as you say, 3 weeks to get ready now for the big one.
So you're not staying here to spy on tomorrow?
I am personally, but the team are going back tonight. And saying to somebody, we have fellas who live further from Cork City than the trip from Dublin to Cork, so we need to get them back. We need to get him back early tonight, you know.
Brilliant. Gourmila Magus, thank you.
Yeah, it's Bobby O'Dwyer there, very happy man, speaking to Moran Trasny Callaghan after today's win over Mayo, 4-12 to 1-13 is how that finished. Still Aston Villa leading Tottenham by a goal to nil, an hour now on the clock. They're going to hear briefly from a very disappointed Mayo boss, Tomás Morley. That's been tomorrow.
Tomás Morley, not a good Mayo day at the office. Not the way you, I'm sure, planned it. You were favourites coming into this.
Yeah, well, I don't know if we're favourites now. I think Cork 2 weeks ago, and knew they were a really good team. They were strong. They were probably physically stronger than us. We have guys that over the last year have showed like sort of that individual flair and scoring goals when, you know, when we were down and out. And but today in Croke Park and all the I suppose the stress that goes with that, I think it was in their legs a little bit, and I think their confidence levels wasn't as high. But this weekend went really well. Our preparation was really good. I just think that, you know, there has to be a winner, and I think Cork were a better team today. Cork were better all around the field, and they had finishers, and we need to get to that pace. But I think we will. I think as a county we're going in the right direction, and hopefully today I think the seniors that they'll push on and show us how to do it.
I did say you were favourites coming into it because obviously of the performance against Dublin, but at the same time they're still very young, and I often think, like, can you really judge form at this age? I think as opposed to all stages and all grades at this young age, it really is, every game takes on a life of its own.
It is, and I was here last year watching the minors in the actual in Croke Park, and they looked really, you know, everyone, you know, was working too much in Galway, I had a cousin on it, and they looked so small, and you know, it's different. That year is a big difference, and as I said in the other interview there, that it can really be hard for them to bank this as experience, because, you know, they might have a year or two where they're not involved in county now because their U20s is the next one, and you know, it's really, I suppose it's hard to know what they take out of it. But I know, really proud of them. They're were really, I suppose they worked really hard to get to where they were, and I said beating Galway and beating Dublin was a highlight, but when you look back on it, the collective game wasn't as good as it should have been, and I think today that maybe showed a little bit again.
I know there's two schools of thought as well when we talk about minors bringing them to Croke Park. One, it's a wonderful day out, it's a great achievement. Mm. As there are children, you know, it's, yeah, it's great to get this day out in Croke Park, especially if you win. If you don't, you've awful memories. I do sometimes wonder, what's your own opinion? Is it good, or should we leave it till they're a little bit older and a little bit more able to cope if you're getting abuse from the hill, or you know, we always hear, yeah, about the pitch being so big.
Mm. Oh, well, I don't think the abuse comes into definitely a minor level, but and you can't really hear anything but support. But I wouldn't be talking about the Croke Park thing in the sense that it shouldn't. Cork, you could say it didn't affect them, and they'll have great memories out of it. Someone has to lose. I suppose the age group in general, not about whether you get to Croke Park or play in Croke Park. I think minor football was 18. I played it myself, and there is a sort of more adult person that's a player that's involved in it. And I think the way things have gone with I'm a teacher, so I suppose everyone is the full 18 now when they're doing their leaving cert with the transition year and that, like, so it's not impacting like it was maybe 10 years ago when people started thinking about change, I suppose. So because I'm sure that people will talk about this, and will, but it's, as again, it's usually the people that are on the losing side that start talking about it. If we won today, we wouldn't be talking about our 17s. We'd be talking about, you know, the great victory. Like, so I think that's for the people in Croke Park to think about. But just as I said, just very proud of the guys and how they how they did during the year, and you know,
I've told them in there, like, you know, nothing that happened today takes away from that, like, and they need to have their heads up. And as I said, you know, they had a great year, but it wasn't just to get to semi-final, we wanted to get to the final. So there is that disappointment, but they can be proud of themselves.
That's Tomás Morley there speaking after today's defeat to Cork. Very interesting stuff there about young players playing in Croke Park and his view on that. But you can hear the disappointment in his voice as well following that defeat to Cork today. 4-12-1-13 was how it finished in favour of the Rebels. And as I mentioned, the Rebels will face either Kerry or Galway, who go head to head at 1:30 tomorrow. All right, back to Croke Park to get a full time report from Dublin's win over Mayo.
Full-time Dublin 3-14, Mayo 1-10. If Dublin were accused of being off the boil in the first half, they certainly turned up the heat in the second, with two Conor Callaghan goals within the first 10 minutes of the second period, while Mayo scored nothing. The first Conor Callaghan goal put two between the sides, which undid a lot of the great work done by Mayo in the first half, where they had 44 tackles as opposed to Dublin's 21. Dublin also worked out the Mayo kickouts and perfected their own. 7 games in 8 weeks definitely caught up with the Westerners, but they never gave up, fighting for a crucial lead Keegan Gold, but the recovery just wasn't there against a resurgent Dublin. Full time, Dublin 3-14, Mayo 1-10.
So it is the Dubs who continue their drive for five, and it'll be Kerry or Tyrone who look to stop them from getting that. 3:30, the throw-in time for that one. Tottenham laying siege to the Aston Villa goal, but with 67 minutes on the clock, it is still Villa who lead by a goal to nil, as things stand at Tottenham's new stadium there. All right, just briefly before we finish up, hand you up to Stevie G for the block party. Going to go back and talk rugby now. Going to hear from Joe Schmidt again, and speaking after today's win over Italy, and he was happy with their play, and this is him talking about what he wants to achieve from these warm-up games.
Yeah, I think we'd like to be able to play with enough variation that we can challenge teams in close or with a little bit of width. And as I said, I thought Reese's timing and accuracy, Joey hit the reach back for it a fraction, but he's a nicely skilled player and did that really well. I thought the variation in our kicking game in the first half allowed us to keep the pressure down their end or to get the ball back, as Andrew Conway did really well. Joey's little cross kick for Dave Carney to get into big space in behind and put the ball through, and then Gary Ringrose destroyed the ruck, and we got that 5 metre scrum, and that's, you know, it's a great way to build pressure where opponents aren't really sure how you're going to attack them.
Joe, do you think Chris Farrell made a case for somebody who can play both 12 and 13?
Yeah, I think he took a step toward it. You know, it's something that we know that all three of the other centres can do. Gary Ringrose started his first test as a 12, coming off the bench when Robbie Henshaw got injured, he shifted into 12. So he's a guy who can play 12. As lean as he is, Bundy obviously has played a lot of 12 for us, and Robbie Henshaw has played a lot of 12, and at the same time those three players can play at 13. So it's something that we want to make sure the three or four centres, depending on how we balance things up, with potentially one of those centres being able to play on the wing. I know it's a while since Gary's done it, but he played a lot of wing for Black Rocks. So yo, I think it's just trying to keep our options open a little bit at this stage so that we can get the best 31 away to leave these shores on September 11, which is, you know, a month away almost exactly.
Yeah, it's Joe Schmidt there speaking after today's 29 points to 10 win over Italy. We're pretty much out of time. Thank you very much indeed for listening to us on the Big Red Bench this evening. We're just about to head down to St. Cummins Park, where hopefully we'll be talking about the Cove Ramblers winning the first round of the FA Cup. They're taking on the holders Dundalk. Ramblers have named their team. Just one change from the side that beat Shells. Greg Henry comes in for Matt Lamb. Our podcast will be online shortly as well. You can get that on redextra.ie and wherever you get your podcast from as well. You can get on Spotify, you can get on iTunes, wherever else you get your podcast from. and get that there. We're back tomorrow from 6 p.m. where we will begin our preview of the All-Ireland Under-20 Hurling Final. We'll hear from the Cork camp. I was down at their press night last night in Portgrin. We'll hear from the Cork camp. We'll also be talking to Rockmount on tomorrow evening show. Reaction to come from tonight's game down in St. Comyn's Park as well. And of course, reaction to come from Kerry and Tyrone in the All-Ireland football semi-final. Who will be facing the Dubs in the final in 3 weeks' time? And can anyone stop the drive for five in a row? Stevie's up next with the block party. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday night, folks. We will talk to you tomorrow from six.
Missed the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. Cork's Red FM.